Good morning. I call the regular meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission for Thursday, April 25th to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Ortiz Legg.
Here.
Commissioner Harrison.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Chairman Moltari.
Here. And I understand we have an announcement to make before we continue, Ramona.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a correction to make to the agenda. Item 6 is incorrectly states that it was continued from the April 11th Planning Commission meeting. It is actually item 5 that was continued from the April 11th, 2019 to today's meeting.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. It is traditional that we start with a flag salute. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Our first item is the public comment period. I understand that some folks are here from Los Osos, and just to let you know, that will be part of the staff's update that we asked you guys. Some of you will remember from our last meeting, but this would probably be the appropriate time to speak during the public comment period. And I also have a comment slip from Eric Greening. So, Eric, you want to go first, and then we'll do the Los Osos folks.
Good morning. I'm Eric Greening. 2 days ago at this time, this room was packed and overflowing. There were actually people in the overflow room. And interestingly enough, most of them were here for a consent item. The front end of that consent item was a very controversial project in Morro Bay. But I'm here to talk about the back end, which was a lasting policy change that would give the Director of Planning and Building the authority to make an agreement with the Coastal Commission for consolidated processing of any future coastal development permit that would take it out of your purview, out of any local government process, and put it entirely in the hands of the Coastal Commission. An issue that came up was that this could happen without any notification or public process, that this could be done by back channel. There'd be a memo to the board, but unless a board member objected, we would never know about it. So that issue was discussed and debated, and eventually Trevor Keith promised that there would be a consent item any time this was proposed so that the public would know about it and could address it. However, the underlying resolution was not corrected. It still contains the old procedure or lack of procedure, and so all we have is an oral promise. What I think it would be worthwhile for this clarification of the public would be if your commission could agendize at your next meeting a letter to the Board of Supervisors and to Mr. Keith asking that they re-agendize that resolution and write that promise into the resolution. And you may even want to go farther and ask to also be notified in a consent item on your agenda. Frankly, I don't like to see, maybe it's extra work doing all these coastal development permits, but there are things the Coastal Commission is not comfortable with that you do excellently. They're not comfortable being a CEQA lead agency. They're not comfortable with health and safety findings. They're comfortable with the Coastal Act. There are strengths the county has, like people to perform on-the-ground SB 18 consultations with tribes. The Coastal Commission doesn't have any of that. I think there can be a real loss in quality as well as public accountability if coastal development permits don't have some kind of local process. So at the very least, giving the public a chance to highlight this issue is important, don't take it away from the public. Add an agenda of the supervisors and perhaps here. Again, if you could send correspondence asking for clarification in the resolution so that we would have a guarantee that these things would never be taken away from local process without the public knowing and having a chance to speak to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Beverly Boyd. Beverly, you want to go first? Followed by Dennis, and this is no particular order. This is just the way they came up. Sure.
I'm Beverly Boyd from Los Osos, but I am reading you what our David Bolus wanted to give you or to share with you, but he had a work commitment that he couldn't change, so I'm reading it for him. Subject: what the community wants done on First Street in Los Osos. At the Planning Commission last September, you heard from numerous community members who want the Back Bay Inn's encroachments removed, all of them, including the boardwalk extension, in recognition of the public's right to coastal access at First Street. At that meeting in September, a small minority of speakers, including employees of the Back Bay Inn, spoke in favor of the Back Bay Inn's so-called improvements. Another speaker in favor, who must not be a frequent visitor to the street, argued against a weed-infested street, apparently unaware that First Street has been clear of weeds for at least a decade, long before the Back Bay Inn installed its encroachments. Another speaker in favor of the Back Bay Inn's encroachments was concerned about class warfare, not coastal access. This year, there have been two First Street community meetings, in quotes, in Los Osos Baywood Park. At the first meeting, attended by about 40 people and hosted by the Back Bay Inn, almost 6 months after the Back Bay Inn agreed to, quote, work hard and fast to modify its permit application, the BBI had no changes to announce. No one spoke in favor of keeping the encroachments except the Back Bay Inn employees who were leading the meeting. At the second meeting, this one held at the South Bay Community Center, a large majority of attendees opposed the encroachments. Of the minority in favor of keeping the encroachments, two were representing the Back Bay Inn. One of the few others in favor argued that the meetings have only been attended by a small part of the thousands who live in Los Osos, and that the small minority opinion expressed at that meeting really represented majority opinion in the community. Quote, nobody showed up, but I can tell you that they agree with me, was the argument. Majority at all those meetings, the people who took time to attend and make statements asking for removal of the Back Bay Inn encroachments, are those who care about what happens on First Street. If the Back Bay Inn can't get supporters to attend meetings, that's their problem, not that of the public advertising effort. Lack of citizen support for the encroachments on First Street is a pretty clear sign that most citizens in Los Osos don't care about keeping the Back Bay Inn's encroachments on First Street, period. Those like me who do care about First Street are those you keep hearing from. We use the street for coastal access. We care about a business taking over a public street. I'm telling you so in this letter. Many who agree with me and who were able to attend today's meeting are telling you so today. Members of the Los Osos Baywood Park community who care want the encroachments removed. That's what the community wants, assuming that other people who don't bother to stand up for an issue somehow represent the community makes no sense. Please take action to make the Back Bay Inn stop stalling. Please order the Back Bay Inn to remove its landscaping and boardwalk from the public street. The community wants First Street fully restored to public use. Sincerely, R. David Bolus. And I would like to add that there is also a sewer lateral clean-out that's out into the street, which is not a public thing. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you, Beverly. And then Paul Hirschfield. Paul, you'll be on deck. Yes.
I'll try to. Good morning. I'm Dennis Wormley. I live on First Street in Los Osos. I applaud what Bev had to say just recently, and it's to be noted that this is going on 8 months since the Planning Commission made recommendations regarding the removal of all of the obstructions that were put on there by the Back Bay Inn. And I just would like to say that the Back Bay Inn is still maintaining encroachments 15 feet into the 1300 block of First Street. We request that all encroachments be removed immediately and the street be returned to pre-encroachment conditions. I would also add that there is enough interest in the local neighborhood to form an adoption for the street. It's a very important part of our community, and we want it kept open to the public, all of it. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Mr. Hirschfield, and then Larry Berter, you'll be on deck. Thank you. Paul?
Hello, good morning. Paul Hirschfield from 8th Street. obviously, ditto to what's been said. I just am here to ask that some action finally be taken. Apparently, the applicant is working on a revised plan. I don't know why it continues to take them so long to kind of get with the program. There has been some kind of ongoing change happening out there where a few plants are taken out. I'm not sure why, but there's an area where they have these retaining walls that they put in that has one of them has been cut back. I don't know if it's part of some other maintenance or they're intending to show that they're cooperating. It is that piece of wall that's been cut back is still well beyond the property line. There's no dispute, at least in my mind, about where that property line is, although I think that the Back Bay Inn is still pushing for their point of view that we are inaccurate where we've indicated it, although we based it on their survey. It's just time that something was done. As stated by my fellow community members at the meeting that was held at the community center, where there were votes on various options, which I didn't think was going to be the process there. I thought we were going to be discussing what this commission had directed back in September of last year. But even with that, with the votes, it was very clear that the overwhelming majority of the community members who do care about this were in favor of just removing all of the encroachments. Now, I know that the commission has stated that if encroachment was granted, there was 5 or 6 feet, depending on what was going to be proposed. At the meeting, it was presented as a sort of either or. So what you heard in regarding those of us supporting full removal was not in contradiction to the allowance of the 5 feet, but when given the option, take it all out because it's not his. The planting is still 15 feet into the right-of-way. There's just one tree left that's more than that, and, of course, the boardwalk extension that is more than 30 feet into the right-of-way. It's just time that all of that was removed and the full coastal access was restored to the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Larry Berter, and then Yael Curran, you'll be on deck. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Larry Bender from Los Osos. I just want to say the planting plants have been moved and he's cut back some. There is a public access point to the beach that has been blocked by the extension of the boardwalk, and nobody is addressing this. It is the right of the people of the state of California to have access to the beach and to the water. This has been blocked. The boardwalk has blocked it off. The growth of the plants have covered it up and is no longer accessible. I was just there yesterday. I watched some person have to climb down the cliff with his stand-up paddleboard to be able to get to the beach, where before there was this natural path that just went to the beach that has been blocked. And so I oppose anything that blocks public access to the beach. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gurin?
It's easy to come last because everybody says everything already. I appreciate the county's second meeting that they organized, and I think that the survey was It caught me by surprise too, but I think it was very clear that most people that were present were not in favor of any encroachment. But again, to reiterate what Paul said, if there is a 5 feet, we'll go with that, of course. My worry that was also alarmed me at that meeting is that the Bay Inn seemed to not know where the property line is. Their attorney was very surprised when we showed him where the property line was, and Paul had to show it to him, and he had to agree because it's their survey. So I'm kind of worried that some of the permits that are running around and the planning are not based on the property line, and especially that it came to our attention that there are plans to extend the hotel along First Street. And there are plans that are actually are either some of it permitted or not. I mean, the county may give a report on that. But if that is going to happen, then I think it will be very important that the Back Bay Inn knows where is the property line. Because you can remove planting. You cannot remove foundations of building. You cannot. Changing plans of building is way more complicated than changing a few trees and landscape. So I think one of the things that are really, really in the crutch of the bottom line is property line. So I'd like to bring that to your attention. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for coming this morning. Yes, sir.
Commissioner? I wonder if I could comment on this right now, or would you rather wait?
Why don't we wait until we get the staff update? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay. So that does bring us, thank you for coming and giving us our permits or your comments. I have no other slips. Anybody else want to talk to us about things not on the agenda? Okay. Then we're going to turn it over to the staff updates. But before we do that too, Ellen, could you tell us a little bit about the item that Eric Greening brought up? I bet that we don't understand.
Right. Just a very quick summary. The Board of Supervisors, on their agenda, on their consent agenda, there was an item that had two parts. One was to allow consolidated processing of the Morro Bay Wastewater Treatment Plant project, consolidated processing meaning that the Coastal Commission would take that permit. The second part of that was to give the planning director the authority to, in the future, approve consolidated processing permits for the Coastal Commission with a process to let the board members know about that. A request had come in and gave the board members time to review that and then also to request that item be put on an agenda for discussion. And so there was quite a bit of discussion about that. And I have not reviewed the resolution, so I can't really speak to that. If the commission would like, we could prepare a memo for you or to go over and summarize that. The other thing is, at your next planning commission meeting during staff updates, we could give you a little bit of an update on that. But at this point, I can't really speak to the resolution. Right. I just haven't seen it.
I think if it's okay with the rest of the commission, I think a little memo to us would be helpful, and then we can see, have a better understanding of what the issue is and take it from there.
Right. We'll do that. Thank you.
Is that acceptable? Okay. Very good. Now, I know there's at least three items on our staff update list.
There are, and Ellen Carroll, Environmental Coordinator, we had talked about putting those in the order, Mr. Chairman, of the schedule first, but I think because we have everybody here from Los Osos and staff is here, that maybe we ought to do the Los Osos First Street update first, right, then the cannabis update,
and then the schedule.
Is that acceptable?
Absolutely.
So then Carrie Brown is our staff person that's working on the Los Osos Front Street project, and so she'll go ahead and give you that update right now. Thank you.
Good morning. Carrie Brown, County Planning. As you heard, we did have a community meeting in Los Osos on March 21st. We had approximately 30 attendees, and as part of that meeting, we did do some surveying to find out, you know, what they thought about the encroachments. The majority of the people at the meeting were not in support of any encroachment, and we heard that. After that community meeting, staff met with the applicant to discuss kind of what we wanted to do moving forward. The applicant still wants to move forward with a project there, and so they are working on a revised project. We're expecting to receive a revised project in the beginning of May, which we will then work with Public Works and make sure that it's meeting all of their requirements, and then we would refer it to the Los Osos Advisory Council. And we would expect to come back to Planning Commission on July 11th. That's a tentative date, but that's kind of our...
Excuse me, are you talking about the addition to the buildings or
no.
just the encroachment?
Just the encroachment.
Okay.
Just a clarification, the building was permitted as part of a coastal development permit. So when they were referring to a building that the Back Bay Inn is potentially going to be constructing, that was already permitted.
So, go ahead. Commissioner Brown.
Thank you. So they're working on a revised project, but what the people want is basically everything to be removed. So is the revised project some kind of a compromise on behalf of the owner, but not really removing everything?
I don't think the owner wants to remove everything.
He
they wanted
want to
come up with a potential project that maybe would be supported by the community.
But this has almost been the condition for the last 6 or 8 months. The owner is just not, he's tone deaf. He's not listening, I don't think, to what people want, which is just to take all that illegal encroachment and take it down.
But not everybody has voiced concerns about having it all removed. We have heard from many people that want it there.
But the majority of the people at the meeting
didn't. Yes.
Did not want it there. So how do we? You're kind of.
Well, I think this is the appropriate time for doing this is to agendize this, have a presentation, and I was at that meeting. I really don't want to give my opinions about what happened until we have it agendized rather than just...
I think that's great. I think we need to get it out in the open and stop going back and forth.
I just have one red flag that's come up with the last speaker I am in agreement. We shouldn't be discussing this that much now, but I do have a concern about the lot line. And where do we go to get an official on that? Would it be Public Works? Would it be council? I mean, who's the final surveyor that's going to tell all concerned where the line is?
David Graham, Public Works. Typically, with any applicant, we have them hire a civil engineer or a land surveyor and do their own record of survey. We then take that information and confirm that. The county surveyor confirms that.
Okay.
As long as there isn't any pre-existing record of survey that it might be there. I will say, though, as background information, that most rights of way in Los Osos are 80 feet, all through Los Osos, 80 feet, which is much more than we would require now. So everywhere you look in Los Osos, there are many structures that are right up against that 80-foot mark, and then everything in their yard, every plant, every feature, there's lots of landscape features on every street in Los Osos that is far well within the right-of-way.
Thank you.
I think that's important to note in regarding this community, and that as well, the majority at the meeting doesn't mean the majority of the city. So,
okay. Well,
a survey was done for the right of way, and I'll make sure Public Works takes a look at that too to make sure that we're having our county surveyor review that.
Okay. I have one question.
Of course.
On the building that you said has already been approved, what's the setback from the property line required for that building?
I believe it's 5 feet.
And that's from the
property line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else that you wanted to inform us about? So you're recommending that that you will agendize this for the first meeting in July.
Correct.
And that in the meantime, you'll get the plans, you'll review it with Public Works, make a recommendation, take it to LOCAC, and then come back to us.
Yes, that's our...
Okay. Commissioners,
That's okay with me.
Yeah. I think that that for me and is the access to the ocean and whatever that plan is that's coming forth, I think that's going to be critical and key is the ocean access, coastal access.
Okay. I'm sure it's frustrating for the folks who came today and they would prefer that we not wait take so long, but is there any other action? I think that the consensus of the commissioners, though, is that that's a reasonable course of action. We'll see you in July.
Okay.
And if I would counsel this, too, is that for any reason there's a further delay, that you bring it back in that date anyway so that we can move forward with this one way or the other.
Okay.
So and maybe communicate that to the applicant that, you know, this isn't going on forever. This is July is the time we'll have a hearing and we'll make a decision.
We will let the applicant know that.
Okay. And thank you, Carrie.
Sure.
Thanks for the meeting that you held, too. Okay. Very good.
So
that brings us
we will move
to
on then.
Cannabis.
Right. To the commission had asked for an update on the cannabis appeal projects, and we have Megan Martin here to give that update to the commission.
Hi.
Good morning, Megan.
Good morning. Megan Martin, Supervising Planner, Planning and Building. At the board on April 9th, Board of Supervisors agenda on April 9th, they heard three appeals. Two were decided by your Planning Commission, CFAM Management Group on November 29th, Planning Commission, Slow Cultivation on November 8th, and another one that was decided upon at a regular Planning Department hearing, that's Dolney Alabaster. And the decisions that the board made were each different, but the first CFAM, the project ultimately was denied. The appeal was upheld, and I just want to provide you some context as to why that project was denied.
And although maybe everybody knows what CFAM, where it was located, but you might remind us which project that was, because we might not remember the applicant.
Sure. So CFAM Management Group Incorporated is located in the Napomo area. Do you remember the address?
Not
887 Mesa Road. It's the old Clearwater Nursery facility.
Right.
Thank you.
Is that the one that was near the park?
No.
No, okay. That is DCD Membership Group. That is has been continued to a date uncertain for their appeal.
Is that the one that was just... The one that was just in the paper is being closed?
Yes.
Right,
yeah, okay.
But I just wanted to provide some context as to the decision that the board made and why ultimately they made the determination to deny the project and uphold the appeal. So on March 12th and 13th, the State of California Department of Fish and Wildlife and California Department of Food and Agriculture, their Cal Cannabis Enforcement Division, along with our County Department of Planning and Building Code Enforcement, inspected 31 cannabis operators that are subject to our temporary abeyance resolution. And they are also hold active state licenses, cultivation licenses. So advance notice of the inspections was provided to the license holders. During the inspection of CFAM on March 13th, violations of county code and the Board of Supervisors cannabis abeyance resolution were identified, and that included illegal processing, manufacturing, and utilizing an unpermitted structure for those activities. The CDFA, that's the Cal Cannabis Division, also opened an investigation into potential state violations related to illegal subletting. And a search warrant was executed at the site on March 13th, 2019. The state's unable to provide the county with any additional information, but that investigation is ongoing. So CFAM was already a conditional use permit, discretionary conditional use permit. And as such, when violations are identified where a project would otherwise be a minor use permit, that has the potential to elevate it to a conditional use permit. And an additional finding needs to be made when those violations elevate a permit. Or even if it's already a conditional use permit, this additional finding needs to be included as part of the record. And that finding is that there would be no... they would be able to demonstrate or justify that no additional violations would be contributed at the site. And staff was unable to, based on this investigation, justify that. And so staff recommended that the board consider denial or to continue it pending local investigations and state investigations. However, the board took final action to deny it based on staff's recommendation that we could not justify that they couldn't contribute to additional violations at the site.
And just for guidance from us, in the future when applicants who have violated in violation before but have cured those and that we have to make the findings in a use permit, mm-hmm. you guys will provide it. In this case, at the time we were hearing it, you were not telling us that it was likely that they couldn't rectify their past violations. But then the subsequent inspection showed that not only were they not curing their old violations, but they had expanded them into more serious ones. Is that a good summary?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, we indeed have one on the agenda today that's a result of that moving up from minor to conditional, don't we not?
I believe that both of those have had violations in the past, but both applicants have worked diligently with the county to come into compliance, and staff does not have any reservations as to recommending approval of those projects. However, I'll be speaking on those outside of staff updates.
Okay. Thank you. And then the other appeal?
Sure.
Oh, wait, I have a question on that one. Mm-hmm. The Board of Supervisors denied their right to grow marijuana, so how long do they have to get rid of it?
Oh, you know, I actually have a representative from County Council here. I'd like to invite him up to speak, Brian, to speak on that.
Just what he wanted.
Sure. So there was a code enforcement case notice for April 16th, and that was continued to April 19th because the parties were talking about entering into a stipulated order, and ultimately a stipulated order was entered into, and Occupant and property owner agree that all unlawful cannabis activities need to stop by April 29th. And after that date, they would be subject to abatement by the county.
So that means they can continue to grow marijuana there as long as they are not in violation of what? Because the county said that the board denied them their permits.
Sure. So technically, they do not have authority to continue cultivating. And this was the wind-down period provided for that was ultimately agreed to by the parties.
Okay, so after the 29th, they're not supposed to have marijuana in that facility?
They're not supposed to have marijuana in the facility now, but after the 29th, the county can enter onto the property and abate it.
Okay, people keep asking me that.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions on CFAM? Okay. So the next is slow cultivation. So the project was approved, but the appeal was partially upheld, and that was to make very minor modifications to the conditions of approval. But ultimately what occurred was that the environmental determination, was amended to further support the determination that unusual circumstances do not exist and that it was appropriate to apply a categorical exemption in approving, making a recommendation to approve that project. So slow cultivation is also in Napomo, and it is located, I did not bring any of the addresses with me. My apologies. Do you remember that? I don't remember. It's located in Napomo. It's located near off of Albert Way and Calendar, I want to say.
The warehouse.
Willow?
Willow.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's on Albert off Willow.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Commissioners, this was the cucumber grower that
yes.
was converting.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I think we'll remember. Right.
So the entire operation would be conducted within an indoor existing greenhouse, and there would only be one additional structure to be constructed to house all of their processing. Again, the project was approved, and only that one finding was modified to further support the categorical exemption that staff had made a determination on following environmental review.
I think that I watched the hearings on television, so got a double dose of that stuff. I think a takeaway from that, though, was that the board majority, at least, felt that the buyer's odor control methodology or technology was an acceptable mitigation to at least approve and then see how it worked. Would that be?
Yes, absolutely. So ultimately, to rely on the cannabis monitoring program to determine whether this system will be successful in neutralizing those odors. We do have several case studies from the Carpinteria area that demonstrate that it is successful, but at the same time, board members also voiced opinions that they went to operations where the system was not successful.
One of the board members said that.
Yes.
That was in Carpinteria, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was it? Yours. That's what I thought.
Okay. And then there's a minor use permit that got appealed that you want to tell us about, too.
Yes. So this was at a regular planning department hearing. It was a formal hearing. A hearing was requested on December 21st, and that was for Dolney Alabaster. This is located just north of Silk Cultivation, right along the Black Lake Canyon Preserve. And that was ultimately approved, but partially upheld. And one of the conditions of approval was modified to require that the non-biodegradable plant medium that they use, it's called rock wool, be disposed of off-site. So we modified a condition to require that their rock wool not be spread about the property as they had suggested, and instead, as they had proposed for their project, and instead for it to be disposed of off-site. And so just in the future, staff is going to be working closely with applicants on their proposed projects to determine what type of plant medium and if it is non-biodegradable, requiring them to dispose of it off-site.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Where was that one located?
Dolney Alabaster is located just north of Slow Cultivation along Albert Way, right on the border of the Black Lake Canyon Preserve. So this is a brand new structure. They'd be removing avocado trees to support a closed system greenhouse, administrative building, and a head house. But ultimately, it's just a building that's connected to the closed system greenhouses.
So actually, right now, it's an avocado grove.
Correct.
That's what I thought. I'm just trying to make sure.
Is there a commercially available disposal company for cannabis waste?
Cannabis waste currently is being disposed of just at the San Luis Obispo waste along the, is it the 227? But they have a specific method in how they so for example, when code enforcement is out in California Valley and they abate product, it is disposed of at the dump, but there's a certain method of how that's accomplished.
Thank you.
So yes, there is a method for that.
And they can't use the waste product in the cogeneration plant that they have?
The rock wool?
The green waste.
Oh, the green waste.
I don't know.
Yes.
Is it hooked up?
You know, I'm not sure if that's part of their proposed project. You know, my focus is more along the lines of land use, but I'm happy to make sure that those questions are answered for the next planning commission.
Yeah, I just was curious because it's green waste.
Yeah.
It could eventually, maybe.
Sure. I just wondered if they're taking it out there, if they're taking it to the dump on 227. Yeah. It's okay.
I have a question.
Certainly.
So on the hemp aspect of our cultivation process here now, where are we on that? And my concern is, again, and I've voiced this prior, that the odor issue is going to come again when we have hemp. So I'm curious as to what the status is, please.
Sure. The planning department has no direction from the Board of Supervisors to pursue an ordinance for hemp. However, our Ag Commissioner's office is diligently working in coordination with the UC Cooperative Extension to develop a water factor for hemp. If properties that are within the Paso Robles groundwater basin are looking to establish hemp, they'll need to pursue an ag offset. And if they're outside the Paso Robles groundwater basin, they'll be able to establish hemp currently so long as they're affiliated with a research institute.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, thanks, Megan. I think this is important as we're learning about how to deal with cannabis to get feedback on the board's decision so that we get a little direction on how to interpret some of these policies and ordinances. So appreciate that. I'm sure you'll keep us posted in the future.
Great.
Thank you. Okay, so that brings us to schedule.
That's right. So we will talk about the commission's upcoming schedule, and all of these items are tentative until they're actually noticed and on the agenda. So your next meeting is on May 9th, and you have two time extensions on that agenda. There was the Sweet Springs Mobile Home Park expansion that was going to be heard on that date, but we did receive an appeal and request for review of the negative declaration, so we're going to ask the commission to continue that one. We have a conditional use permit for expansion at the Sea Pines Golf Course in Los Osos. There's a cannabis conditional use permit. The project is in the Lake Nacimiento area on Nacimiento Lake Drive. And then there's also a specific plan amendment for the Woodland specific plan, and that's in South County. So those are the items currently scheduled for May 9th. You'll note on your agenda today, we're going to probably continue two more items to that date, but we'll wait till you act on those. And then May 23rd is your next meeting. There's two projects and also the Phase 2 cannabis ordinance amendments on that date. The two projects are, one is an expansion of a building envelope for Track 1648 in the Arroyo Grande area. So that's a building envelope expansion. And then the other project on that agenda is the AT&T. There's a wireless facility project out on Creston Road in North County. That's it as far as the upcoming schedules. It's a little bit too early to start estimating what's coming in June, but your two meetings in June are the 13th and the 27th. And that's all I have for the schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay. Thanks very much, Ellen. Okay. Now we are at our consent agenda. There are two items on it. I just wanted to point out that on item four, which are the minutes, I spoke with Ramona before the meeting and suggested some non-substantive word changes just for clarification that she agreed to. And I don't know if we need to review those, but.
Page one of eight? Item four, you mean?
Item four on the agenda, which is the minutes.
Oh.
And,
Page six of eight.
Maybe you could just read okay. The change. Thank you, Ramona.
The change on the motion language is to read, the commission continues this item to January 24th and requests the county geologist attend to address stability issues and for a visual analysis to compare project to adjacent homes with different vantage points.
Yeah, I know that this is either going to be appealed or has been appealed, and I thought that was just a little more clarification for the board. So, non-substantive. Okay. Any other comments on the consent agenda? Okay. Motion to approve?
So move.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. All right. That brings us to our two hearing items, both of which I think we are being asked to continue, but we still should go open them and take an action. Megan, staff report? Or wait, we should introduce it, Ramona. I'm sorry.
Item number five is a continued hearing from April 11th to consider a request by Larry Nazareno Montenegro Delgado for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2017-00108, Supervisorial District Number 5, Megan Martin, Project Manager.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this hearing item was continued from April 11th to today's date, and that was based on receipt of a letter from the Cal Cannabis, the CDFA Environmental Division. They had provided us some comments that we felt it was critical and necessary that we responded to those comments prior to bringing that back to your commission. In between that time and today's date, April 25th, we received a letter from the CDFW, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, specifically on the mitigation measures that were listed and applied to the proposed project. The CDFW acts as a trustee agency as well as a responsible agency, so both for Fish and Wildlife Resources as well as for under the California Environmental Quality Act, respectively. And so we felt, again, that it was necessary, based on the comments that we received and the revisions that they were asking us to make to these mitigation measures, that we address the state's comments and potentially revise the project accordingly. And so due to the nature of the letter, the county would need additional time to respond. And so in addition to this, for this project, the applicant's agent for the project has requested that certain project features and or conditions of approval be modified specific to phasing. And the county staff feels that we would need more time to review the requested changes before making a recommendation of this project. And so for this, we're requesting that your commission consider continuing this to a date uncertain. However, I can note that I've spoken with the agent through email communication, have spoken with the agent. They acknowledge the continuance, and we already have a meeting scheduled for next week to discuss this so that we can move quickly to hearing to get our recommendation to your planning commission. Ultimately, final action.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for staff at this point?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. This application has some complexity to it that we haven't seen in a lot of other cannabis applications. And one is the comments. Why it was were those public comments to the mitigated neg deck? Mm-hmm. Somebody from the public did this.
No, those comments were, so two sets of comments have been received on this project. One from the California Department of Food and Agriculture,
yeah.
Cal Cannabis Division. So ultimately, they're responsible for licensing these operations at the state level. They were the first to provide comments. The second to provide comments is the California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Right.
They, as a trustee agency, are responsible for protecting habitat as well as species, both fish and animals. From removal of critical habitat,
right.
And they felt that there were, or at least the intent of the letter implied that there were additions and deficiencies that they would like to see revised before we moved forward.
So the question I have, is this going to be kind of a regular way that they handle the cannabis applications? Going forward.
It depends on the location, probably. This is Carrizo Plain, which has got a long history of sensitive species and stuff like that. So,
okay.
I would agree with that statement.
Yeah, so the next one is also from Carrizo Plains.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
And I don't see a lot of that in there.
Correct.
So why would that one be different?
That one is indoor only and is proposing far less in terms of square footage of structures. So there is, I believe, one additional 2,500 square foot structure that they're proposing in addition to an already existing structure. It's much smaller in scale.
Okay.
And while the impact would be equal, the scale of that impact, I think, is different for the two.
Mm-hmm. So there is not a cutoff time on comment for agencies regarding applications.
There's a 30-day public review period. So
right.
When county staff receives a signed mitigation statement or developer statement from the applicant, they package it, they send it to the state clearinghouse. They're responsible for publishing that environmental document. And the 30-day clock starts when that is published. The general public, the applicant, as well as any other outside agency that is in receipt of the document has an opportunity to respond. We felt that it was important that even though these were taken outside of that public review period, that because they are both responsible agencies for permitting these operations, that in order to support these operations as much as possible through a strong recommendation to your commission, that we needed to respond to these without just bypassing them.
Thank you for that explanation. Appreciate it.
What exactly did they raise in these two letters that we received yesterday that you didn't address in your proposal?
So each, so I went over these with our consultant who is with our consultants who are ultimately the project managers for these. We went over these over the last 2 days, and most of these are all covered under the mitigated negative declaration as mitigation. The differences and the deficiencies that they identified is the level of surveys as well as timing for a lot of the mitigation measures. And again, for this project in particular, focusing on the DRC 2017-00108, the applicant and agent is also looking to phase the project, which could ultimately change how we time the mitigation measures for the project. And so, again, we felt it appropriate and necessary to continue it. But ultimately, all of the mitigation measures that had previously been identified or that were covered under the CDFW letter were identified in our MND. However, they would like to see additional language that I think makes them more effective. And that's what we're going to be focusing on.
Any other questions or comments? I think all of us have questions and comments about the project substantively, but we'll hold those until it actually comes back at the hearing, I think. Okay. So this is a notice public hearing. I just want to make sure, does anybody want to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, I'd have a motion to continue to a date uncertain.
I'll make that motion to continue this to a date uncertain.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So that brings us to item number 6. Ramona, could you introduce that one, please?
Item number 6 is a hearing to consider a request by Pamela Burgett for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2018-00020, supervisorial district number 5, Megan Martin, project manager.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yes. Hi again, Megan.
Megan Martin, Planning and Building Department. So similar to item 5, the Planning and Building Department received a letter from the CDFW, and it includes comments and recommendations on the initial study mitigated negative declaration. And as I mentioned, the CDFW acts as both a trustee agency, responsible agency. They're ultimately responsible as well for permitting this project if they're if there's any type of incidental take. And so as such, and due to the nature of the letter and the comments, the county is requesting additional time to respond, as some of the comments will result in changes to the environmental document. But these are to, again, make the mitigation measures more effective. It does not necessarily implicate the project in any way or modify the project in any way. And so as such, the department will need to continue this item and feels comfortable with recommending that your planning commission continue this to a date certain, and that is May 9th, 2019. We spoke with the applicant yesterday through email correspondence. They acknowledge and are available on this day.
Okay. Any questions for staff? Commissioner Brown.
I'd like to make a motion.
Well, let's just make sure that there's no one here for the hearing before we move. Okay, that's all right. This is notice public hearing. Is there anybody here who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing no one coming forward, now we're ready for a motion. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to continue this item to May 9th, 2019.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Was the date specific that it was asked for, or
yes,
a future date?
Staff felt that the next available Planning Commission date was appropriate based
okay.
on the okay. scale of the comments
I'm sorry,
that were received.
I didn't catch that. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. I think everyone's clear. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Thank you very much, staff. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Is there a motion to accept all testimony into the record?
I'll make a motion to accept all testimony into the record, please.
Second to that motion.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And now we have adjournment. Motion for that?
Make motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. See you in a couple weeks. Thank you all.